It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of the podcast. My name is Dan Bach, and of course, this is the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust. Thank you so much for checking us out today. Fridays are a big day in daily fantasy sports, simply because some of the biggest qualifiers going on and some of the biggest tournaments usually happen in baseball season on Friday night. So we skipped the game analysis yesterday, but we will bring it back today in full effect and go through, give you some statistical analysis on pretty much all the games, throw in some value plays, who I like, who I don't. So we will get to that here shortly. Just want to kind of bring you up to date on exactly what we've got going on in the industry tonight. Obviously, if you didn't get your team in yet on Draft Street for their 109 qualifier, too late. 60 spots filled fairly fast over there, so I was lucky enough to get an entry, won myself a satellite, so that's a great way to go ahead and get into these high-level tournaments that have a smaller field, because let's face it, you know, we all want to get into that top 40 to have a chance to win $35,000. But the only way to do that is to win a qualifier, and it's a lot easier to beat 60 people than, say, getting into the, what, $22 one with 200 people or the $10 one with 500 people. So this is probably your best bet from an odd situation. So they run satellites. Just click on the little satellite menu option out there on their front page, and you can get into those. I highly recommend that. Also, over on FanDuel, of course, it is the FanDuel Baseball Championship, and the qualifying event continues again tonight, as you can earn yourself an incredible trip to Vegas and, of course, play for the largest prize in the history of daily fantasy sports, $100,000 going to the winner of that tournament. But you got to get to Vegas first, so you got to play in that tournament. The team stacks, been a lot of discussion about it recently on the message board, and it's definitely a viable strategy with that many teams in there. But let's face it, so far this year, three of the winners had team stacks, three of the winners did not. I mean, I think a lot of it's going to basically come down to, you know, is there a team that's going to put up monster numbers? And it doesn't happen every single night of the week with interleague play. You'll hear as I go through the analysis of the games, it's a little bit less in the way of batter versus pitcher matchup, which I know a lot of people like myself like to use. My strategy has been for the FanDuel contest is I put in three teams, I stack two, and then I do one, which is unstacked. That's kind of been my strategy. Had one top 10 finish so far this year, so that's gone well, but I'm going to give myself a try at it again tonight. So I think you should too. Great tournament going on there. And then, of course, over there on Joust tonight, they have their $1,000 guaranteed tournament, but they've been putting bounties on big-name players. If you beat them, then you get an extra little honorary badge, which, of course, goes towards your badge totals, and those can help you get into the Super Joust, can help you get into free rolls and so forth. But Beer Maker Fan is the guy who is got the bounty on him this week, and of course it's a great tournament, $1,000 guaranteed prize pool. Not only do you win good money, you win a seat into Super Joust 3 if you take that sucker down tonight over there on Joust. Also have their All-Star Joust qualifiers on their $1 and $2 large field games. So that's what's going on really right now in the industry. On Monday, remember, is the start of the Daily Fantasy Sports Championships over there on draft day. So make sure if you haven't played over there, make your deposit and go through our links here on Roto Grinders. Great deposit bonuses. And remember, draft day, we're pretty lucky and pretty happy to have them kind of get more involved with us here on Grinder. So we are putting out projected lineups for baseball every single day for them. So make sure you go over there and play in that championships where lots of money on the line and lots of bragging rights. So I'm definitely going to give that a try. See if I can't get my way in that leaderboard. And boy, would I love to go head-to-head versus Kay Adams. If I get to the point of being in the finals, she has to come on the podcast, right? I mean, she has to. There's no way around it. Like, you can't do that. If we're going to go head-to-head for a grand, you've got to come on the show. So that's my goal. So I'm aiming for that. So that is the industry for tonight and going through the weekend. But we got to give you our analysis. Let's go through these games for Friday night.
One constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time.
Yes, it's that time of year again where interleague play is taking place. I kind of was a fan early on, but I think it's run its course. Could probably live without it, but not nearly as much of a hater as some people are. But let's talk a little bit about the games tonight. Kick it off with Miami. They take on the Cleveland Indians out there in Cleveland. Carlos Zambrano yielded only one run, 13 hits, struck out 21 in 23 innings while going 1-0 in three May starts. So he looks like the Zambrano of old. Has never really been great in interleague play. 9-8, 4.63 ERA in 25 interleague starts. The Indians, they've actually been playing better. They totaled 25 runs, 42 hits during their four-game win streak. So that's almost 10 hits a game. Carlos Santana, big reason for that. 7 for 17, 4 RBIs in his last five games. And also, Shin-Soo Chu is batting like 400 since he's been in the leadoff position. So the Indians really starting to pick it up with their bats. They send Justin Masterson to the mound. He's 1-3, 5.40 ERA this year. Also 2-4 with a 4.23 in his 9 career interleague games. Mike Stanton's been playing pretty well lately, but Justin Masterson usually does okay with righties, but has real trouble with lefties. 309 the batting average against him this year. Logan Morrison looks like the biggest left-handed bat in that Marlins lineup, so he might be one guy you want to consider in this game. Moving on, Boston, Philadelphia, Josh Bard against Cole Hamels. Hamels is going to try to move the Phillies two games above 500 for the first time this season when he gets the ball tonight. He is trying to win his sixth consecutive decision for the first time. The Phillies have won each of his last six starts with Hamels compiling an ERA of less than 2, and he's 3-0 in four career starts versus the Red Sox with a 1.44 ERA. So he's got a lot of stuff going his way. There are some decent stats against him. Dustin Pedroia, 5 for 12 off of Cole. Adrian Gonzalez, 8 for 24, a couple of homers. Even Jared Saltalamacchia, 3 for 6 with a home run. And Cody Ross, 4 home runs and 35 at-bats against Cole Hamels. The Red Sox starting to play a little bit better lately. Josh Bard, he's limited Cleveland to one run over six innings in Sunday's 12-1 victory. Maybe one of his better starts this year. But Carlos Ruiz has just been insanely hot. He's really expensive on different sites like DraftStreet. He's like 9K, which is crazy to spend on a catcher. But he's got 8 hits in his last 12 at-bats. Hunter Pence, also 5 for 14, 2 homers in the last 3 games. Pittsburgh and Detroit face off. It's Charlie Morton against Justin Verlander. Talk about a great spot for Verlander. He's a strikeout machine going against a team that I think is K'd more than anyone this year. And on top of that, he's at home. So if you can afford Justin Verlander, he's probably worthwhile. 15-2 is his record. 2.94 ERA and 20 starts against the National League. And actually 3-0 last year with an ERA under 1 in his 4 outings. Verlander seeking his 51st consecutive start with at least 6 innings, going at least 6 innings. That's a pretty amazing stat right there. Andrew McCutchen, the one guy with Pittsburgh who's really hitting the ball well, 486, 5 homers with an OPS of 1.479 over his last 2 games. Also had 2 homers last night and sitting at an on-base percentage of about 500 in the 9 games against Detroit. But with that said, Verlander's the way to go. Charlie Morton, 1-4, 6.55 ERA in his last 7 starts away from PNC Park. Probably a good chance Austin Jackson's going to miss the game again tonight. Not a whole lot batter versus pitcher in this one. Prince Fielder, 2 for 11 off of Morton back when he stays with the Brewers. Cincinnati and New York, Bronson Arroyo, Andy Pettitte. New York has totaled 4 runs, 13 hits during a 3-game skid. And A-Rod, he's actually done pretty well historically in this matchup. 350 batting average with 2 home runs, 2 homers off of Bronson Arroyo. Also 7 for 19 in his last 5 against the Reds. Arroyo has an ERA of 6.99 with no record in 7 regular season and postseason starts against the Yankees. Raul Ibanez is also 4 for 8 against Arroyo. The only problem you're kind of running into is they're just not scoring many runs. I think a Yankee stack looks ideal against Bronson Arroyo, but they're just not hitting the ball that well. Andy Pettit, he goes to the mound. He allowed a pair of two-run homers and walked 3 and 6 1/3 innings in his loss in his first game back to Seattle. The Reds batting, Joey Votto batting 390, 4 homers, 10 RBIs in his last 12 games, and he's also 7 for 12 with a solo shot in old Yankee Stadium, but that was back in 2008. Brandon Phillips, not real great against left-handed pitching. I'd avoid him today, 172 on the year. And only one homer between Jay Bruce and Joey Votto against lefties this season. So a little surprising stat there. Baltimore, Washington, Jake Arrieta against Edwin Jackson. The Orioles have actually belted a major league leading 61 homers this season, and they've won 7 in a row in opposing teams' ballparks. So this game is in Washington, so might bode well for him. Adam Jones, he's hit 7 of his team leading 13 home runs in the last 13 games, also 3 in the last 3 days. And Edwin Jackson, he walks into this 0-1 with a 4.25 ERA over his last 5 starts, but he's been pretty good against the Orioles. In his last 4, 3-0, ERA under 1, so that might bode well for him. From a stats side of things, Adam Jones, 3 for 14 with a homer off of Jackson. Nick Markakis has had his number, 7 for 18. But Chris Davis, he's 0 for 11, 6 Ks. Matt Wieters, 0 for 9 in his career against Edwin Jackson. Jake Arrieta, gone 1 and 4 over his last 5 outings with an ERA of almost 10 in 4 of those games. 7 runs, a career high 10 hits in just 3 2/3 innings on Sunday. Arrieta's not looking good. Washington looks like in a good spot here to maybe score some runs. He's struggled against them as well. He's giving up a combined 12 runs over 2 starts spanning just 8 innings. So maybe a load-up Washington lineup might not be bad with Zimmerman and Bryce Harper. And you can actually get some other guys in there because they're probably not the most expensive. So just an idea for you tonight. New York, Toronto. It's the Mets and, of course, the Blue Jays. Jonathan Nease, Ricky Romero, both only one loss on the year. Romero's actually yielded 4 runs, season-high 9 hits over 5 1/3 innings, failing to strike out a single batter in his last start, but he is 4-2 with an ERA under 2 in his 9 career starts against the National League. But one guy who is putting up MVP-type numbers is David Wright. He went 2-for-2 yesterday, increases his average to 4.11 in a crazy on-base percentage of 5.13 as well. Wright is batting 386, 4 homers, 24 ribbies in his last 17 interleague games. It's actually the highest average of any player in interleague games. Jonathan Nease, 1-2 with an ERA over 5 and a opponent batting average of 354 in his 3 interleague starts last season. Jose Bautista really heating up. Homered for his 5th time in 7 games as he only had left the yard once in his previous 23. Look for Brett Lowry to be out of the lineup tonight because of suspension. The one guy who's got some history against Nease, Kelly Johnson, 4 for 10 in his career. Atlanta, Tampa Bay, Hanson against James Shields. Shields, he opened interleague play last year, 3 complete game victories, finally finished with a 3-1 record, 1.32 ERA last year, struck out 42 in 34 innings, and allowed opponents to only bat 145, and he's just money at home. 8-0, 2.48 ERA in his last 10 starts, all Rays wins dating back to last year in the Trop. The Braves, they have actually won 9 out of their last 13. They're starting to heat up, had a nice day yesterday. Jason Hayward has had some success against Shields. He's 1-for-3 with the home run. Tommy Hansen, he's improved to 3-1 over his last 5 outings, struck out a season-high 9 over 5 innings of 1-run ball during Sunday's 7-4 victory at St. Louis. Hansen, 1-2 with a ERA of about 10, though, over his last 4 interleague games, so not really great in that side of things. Texas and Houston, Feliz against Wandy Rodriguez. Of course, everybody knows Josh Hamilton, got the day off the other day. 17 for 37, 8 homers, 17 ribbies in his last 10 games, leads the American League in all 3 Triple Crown categories. Pretty impressive start for him. He's also had a pretty good track record against Houston, batting 400, 3 homers, 2 triples, 1 double, 12 ribbies against the Astros. Now, Wandy Rodriguez, he's 4-2 lifetime, against the Texas Rangers, gave up no runs in seven innings in his most recent start against them. Historically, though, against the AL, not really all that great. 3-5, ERA of 6.30 since 2009. Look to Ian Kinsler today. I think he's definitely going to be in a lot of people's lineups. 9-15, two homers, three doubles off of Wandy. And Michael Young batting 450 at-bats against left-handed pitching this season. Moving on back to the American League, I guess it's American League and National League, Seattle and Colorado, Millwood against Alex White. At least seven runs have been scored in five out of the last seven home games for Colorado, and the Rockies have an ERA of 5.67 at home. That's the worst in baseball, and in the last 11 in Denver, it's actually over six. Now, Seattle, they're 1-6 on their 10-game road trip, and Seattle's actually 1-12 away from home since April 28th, and the team is only batting .216, averaging 2.4 runs during that stretch. I like Michael Kadire today in this game, 12-28, that's .429 average, two homers, four doubles against Kevin Millwood, who, let's face it, is just not very good. Got to go Tulowitzki. Got to think Cargo is going to have a big game. So loading up on Rockies again on a Friday night might not be a bad bet. As for Alex White, not really good himself. Allowed six runs in 4 1/3 innings in a 11-5 loss last time out. Look to Dustin Ackley, though, if you're looking to go with the guy in Seattle. He's been playing really solid lately for them, so could be a good option at second base. Arizona, Kansas City, Joe Saunders against Luis Mendoza. Mendoza's like super cheap. He's like 4.7K or something on Draft Street. Tough not to take a guy when he's that cheap. And let's face it, Arizona's not ripping the cover off the ball. The Diamondbacks, though, they're going for their sixth straight victory in Kansas City on Friday night. Justin Upton came into the game only batting 173 in the previous 13 contests, but he walked three times and also had a homer in the last game. As for Mendoza, made four starts in April, went 1-2 with an ERA of about six. Aaron Hill, 2-for-2 off of him in his career. Joe Saunders off to a great start this season, then got banged up the last couple of starts, but he loves going against the Royals. 4-0, 2.57 ERA against them in his career. He did give up six earned runs for the second straight start on Sunday. Eric Hosmer likely to be held out of the lineup again tonight because he is slumping big time. Look to Alex Gordon to be, though, a solid play if you think the Royals can score some runs, 3-for-6 and a home run off of Saunders. Minnesota and Milwaukee, it's Diamond against Marco Estrada, and Milwaukee enters interleague play with the NL's fourth worst record and is six games out of first place in that Central Division. The Brewers outscored Minnesota 38-14, winning all six meetings at Miller Park during the last 2 years. Now, Ryan Braun is batting .304 with a homer and seven RBIs in the last six home games. Ricky Weeks also hitting .455 with two homers and seven RBIs. Corey Hart also has a nice OPS. Scott Diamond, though, has been pretty good during his first two starts at home. Little weary here, though, going into Miller Park, how well he's going to continue. Estrada, Marco, he yielded two runs, five hits, and six innings of an 8-2 loss in Chicago during his last start. The Twins actually have an AL low 25 homers, but have hit two in each of their last two games. Justin Morneau, 2-for-2 with a double and a walk against Estrada, also had a homer yesterday. Stay out there on the West Coast here with LA and San Diego. I'm talking about the Angels and the Padres. Weaver against Supon. And Jeff Weaver allowed eight runs, 10 hits in 3 1/3 innings in a loss to Texas. But let's face it, the Padres are not the Rangers. So I like Weaver in this matchup a lot. 10-3, 2.75 ERA in 18 interleague starts, including a 5-0 record, ERA of about two in his last eight. He, in his only appearance in San Diego, threw a five-hitter, shutout, 6-0 win in 2009. Chase Headley, one guy who's starting to hit the ball well for San Diego. He is 5-for-14 in the last four games. Also hit .414 with five ribbies against the AL last season. Jeff Supon, he only gave up one run and eight hits over 10 innings in his first two starts. For me, that means it's only a matter of time before he starts looking like Jeff Supon, who is just a journeyman, if anything. Albert Pujols left the park in each of the last two, batting .296, eight home runs in 28 regular season and playoff games at Petco. He's also batting .381 off of Supon. Vernon Wells, 4-for-10 in his career against the starting pitcher. St. Louis and L.A., it's Lance Lynn against Ted Lilly. both of these guys have been phenomenal this year, but they are coming off their worst starts of the season, so you have to wonder if maybe they're coming back to earth a little bit. Lance Lynn's ERA is the third best in the majors. He's 171 opponent batting average, ranked second, and done pretty well. But Andre Ethier, he's hit safely in 12 straight home games against the Cardinals, also batting 468 with eight doubles in those games, so looks like a great option tonight. Ted Lilly ranks eighth in the majors in both ERA and WHIP, also allowing a 172 batting average against. Beltran, kind of questionable in this game. He had been great in Dodger Stadium, so if he does end up playing, might be a good guy to go with. Lance Berkman, though, avoid him. 3-for-31, 10 Ks in his career against Ted Lilly. Last game to discuss, Oakland and San Francisco. It's Jared Parker against Barry Zito. Zito will look to help the Giants win their 10th straight at home versus the Oakland A's. And Zito's given up more than has not given up more than three earned runs in seven starts this season. Historically, though, not very good against Oakland. 1-4 with a 7.24 ERA against the A's. But let's face it, this Oakland A's team is awful, so they do not have much in the way of hitting. The A's have averaged 1.8 runs during their nine-game skid in AT&T Park, so I think that Barry Zito looks like a good option today. Jared Parker pitched well into the sixth inning in all four of his starts while surrendering two or fewer runs in each of them. He's been a pretty big-time prospect, so not surprising that he's had so much success, and obviously not much in the way of batter versus pitcher with him being a rookie. So that's the quick rundown of Major League Baseball for tonight. Best of luck in your matchups. Time for me to say a quick thank you to my friends over there at Daily Joust. They've been the sponsor of this podcast since the very first day it started. So if you enjoy what I do, maybe run over there, give them a chance to earn your business. They've got so many different type of tournaments, you know, low stakes, only a buck or two, all the way up to the 275s, and just a really friendly atmosphere over there at Daily Joust. I'm a big fan of the King Richards. I talk about those all the time. Those are the 50-50 survivor contests where you start with 32 people and it goes pairs down to 16, then 8, then 4. So you're drafting a new team each and every day, winning more money as you go further along. And the great thing about that, they attach a Super Joust seat to the winner. So $20, not an expensive entry for a tournament that can last quite a few days for you. So maybe check those out. And of course, $1,000 guaranteed tournament. Beer Makers Fan is the bountied player today. So go ahead, check them out. They're a great sponsor here of the podcast, and they are dailyjoust.com. And with that, folks, I'm going to say goodbye to you for today. We will return on Monday, recap the big tournaments from the weekend, let you know who is playing for the big money out there in Vegas, maybe who's going to get that next spot on Draft Street, and of course, the beginning of the online championship series of Daily Fantasy Sports. I probably screwed that up, but the big series championship over there on Draft Day starts on Monday, so we'll talk about that quite a bit as well. So thanks again for joining us. It's been the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, presented by Daily Joust. Go over to Twitter, follow us there at Roto Grinders. You can get this podcast on iTunes, and if you got any feedback, let me know. Dan@rotogrinders.com. Till Monday, everybody, have yourself a great weekend, and we will talk to you then. See you, folks.